Hallelujah. Y'all ready to hear from God?
Yes.
All righty. Well, then he heard that. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, who filled the heavens and the earths, hallowed be your name. All encompassing, all resolution, all provision is your name. I need no other source. I need no other words but your name. So I speak over this time and I speak over these people. Hallowed, Father. And we say, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done in this flesh, on this earth, as You would have in heaven. This day we ask, and I ask, especially right now, for the bread, the provision, the ability to do Your will. We speak this as done. We do it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to hopefully or try today to end the series of the Lord's Prayer. Yes, Children's Church, yes. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. And we'll be looking at the Scriptures from about 7 through 13. Praise the Lord. We're not going to do a review at the beginning. We're going to do it at the end today. So let's just begin with verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Now, if you were to study this last verse today, you would find that thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever are listed as 9999, which means they were added. They were not the words spoken by Jesus. But I don't care if they were added. They very much apply right here, so I'm not going to be cutting them out. I believe that we should say that all the time. I believe that in the beginning of this prayer, we did say that. Now, I've looked at this passage of Scriptures, as we know as the Lord's Prayer, exactly the way Jesus said, don't do it this way, do it this way. Now, maybe I'm just a little simpleton, narrow-minded, but when Jesus says, don't do it this way, that's going to be the right way. Anybody wants to argue, well, arm wrestle me or whatever, I'll still win. I win because I'm going to do it the way Jesus says. The difference is in this Scripture right here, in all the previous ones before, we were taking responsibility. This one, it sounds like we're trying to throw it back on God. Lead us not into temptation, basically sounds like that God leads us into temptation, so today I'm asking you not to do that. And that's very much wrong interpretation. Deliver us from evil sounds like that we don't have anything to do, that God will deliver us from evil, but hopefully when we get through today, I'm going to submit to you that you got yourself there. You may have some responsibility of getting yourself out. And if you don't want to be in evil, don't go there. I'll also submit to you that Jesus was a man. And He was praying as men should pray. And once in a while, since we get ourselves in evil, we have to pray that God will get us out. Okay? So two different perspectives. But remember, this is not saying, Jesus was not teaching us to say, I can get myself into anything, I can say anything, I can do anything, but because I'm saved, you're obligated to get me out of it. If you believe that, you deceive yourself. So I asked God, what in the world? You know, I need some clarification here. I know what this says, but your instructions were to me, listen to me. His instructions to us were, when we did not know what to pray, He would inform us how to pray. So we need the understanding on this, correct? All right. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail telling you what every word means. I'm going to give you stands today, I got to understand version, according to the Holy Spirit and the definitions. I'll give you two. Do you understand that my version is just as credible as the NIV? In fact, more so, the NIV's got a lot of glitches. It's a lot better than the New Living Translation and many others, because it's based on the study of the Word, not the hope I this is right word. Now here's the way that according to the dictionary we should, and the Holy Spirit, we should pray this. lead us away from temptation. Rush in to draw us. Rescue us from the plan of the enemy in using our flesh to further weaken, disease, destroy, and degenerate our faith and our effectiveness. After all, this is not about me. It's about how I represent and please you and the kingdom. Does that sound like a good translation? Well, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, I'll read you another one. I know, as in times past, that my flesh is weak. I know that the devil will throw things in my path to draw me from you. And it will be things that my flesh wants to do. Now, I'm going to remind you of something. The devil doesn't get in cars and run over you. The devil doesn't walk into your boss and get you fired. The devil doesn't bring bags of cancer and dump it on you. That's not how he gets to you. He gets to you by touching you in what you want, not what you don't want. Sorry, if it goes against your theology, change your theology. The devil is not omnipresent. Besides that, he's not omniscient. He knows what all flesh wants. Therefore, he sends his soldiers out to tempt you with the things that you want, not with the things that you don't want. You are not tempted by losing your children. You're not tempted by losing your marriage. You're not tempted with car accidents and disasters. These are not things that tempt you. So when Jesus was teaching us how to pray to be led away from temptation, it's because we had something leading us into temptation. Does that make sense? What is temptation? Oh, really? Is chocolate bad? You guys are already tempted to look at the clock and see what time it is so you'll know when we're going to lunch. Is that bad? Temptation is not a bad word. If temptation were a bad word, I would have never been married. Come on, let that soak in just a second. The trouble is we've allowed the church and the devil to teach us that everything is bad and we got to work for good. I got news for you. God created everything, including temptation. Because sometimes it's good. Most of the time, if we got our perspective right, there's nothing wrong with being tempted. It's wrong when you yield to wrong temptation. That's all. Temptation is a good thing. You should have been tempted to get into wild, crazy praise this morning. Instead, you resisted it. That's wrong, resisting. You should be tempted to fall in love with God madly. Just get a little crazy once in a while. Don't resist that. The temptation that this word represents is those things that cause the flesh to become weaker. That's the temptation it's talking about. It's interesting to me that the root word in the Greek of this word is so close to porn, it's amazing. I'm not talking about what you and I think of when we say porn. I'm talking about anything that would move our focus off of good onto bad. That make sense? I know as in times past that my flesh is weak, and I know that the devil will throw things in my path to draw me from you, and it will be things that my flesh wants to do. Let me cut to the chase here so I don't have to say it 45 or 46 times to get you to understand. I'm going to say it just like this. Here's the title of my message. God, the only problem I have is me. The only problem I have is me. The only thing that I have to worry about is what my flesh wants to do. I don't worry one little bit about what your flesh wants to do. There's one thing that God has given me great confidence about, and that is there's no flesh stronger than my flesh, and there's no spirit stronger than my spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing in the flesh that can draw me away from God. That's right. Now, my weakness is my flesh. Did you hear what I said? My weakness is my flesh. I've said this openly over and over, that the first thought that you have, every time the first thought that you have it, it's wrong, because it's from the flesh. You must take that breath of God to overcome that thought of the flesh. You must shut up the first word so God will have the last word. One of the things that I'm amazed with is how many times lately that God has been allowed in my life to keep my mouth shut just long enough to hear the truth. Because I'm pretty quick on the trigger. Anybody that's hung around me knows that my wit is good when I want to use it. I always have a retort, no matter what. I can respond to anything faster than you can think. You know what that is? That's a God-given talent to be used correctly, not incorrectly. And it's taken me a number of years to understand what stop, breathe, think, and act means. Y'all remember that message? If you don't, you need to go get it and listen to it again. It's a survival technique in diving and spirit living. Here's the rest of this. Oh, let me finish. In case you forgot. It's your flesh you got to fight. Nobody else's. You know how you know somebody's off track? When they're fighting somebody. You'll know a Christian's off track when they're fighting someone. Are you catching up on that one? A Christian that's on track need not fight another person. They've already won. Why would they fight? What's the point? It's your flesh that you've got to control, not someone else's. If I'm under control of my flesh, I'm in control of someone else's flesh. Do you hear me? If I'm in control of my flesh, I'm in control of somebody else's flesh. Let me say it another way. If Jesus walked in this room, do you think he'd have any trouble with anybody else's flesh in here? You think he'd worry about your feelings or your thought processes or your hurt feelings or your mad on or whatever? Do you really think that would affect his direction? Maybe we need to think about that as we get huffy and puffy and pushy and chevy and we've been up, so I'm going to inform you and all that kind of stuff. Here's the rest of the prayer. Please, when I am weak, you be my Savior and my Deliverer. Inform me and direct me to do the things that are good for me in the kingdom. Lead me and push me away from the things that can appeal to my fleshly desires. Those things that will weaken me, disease me, degenerate my stand, and lead to my destruction. Lead me into the things that destroy flesh. Lead me into the things that destroy flesh. And strengthen my faith. Strengthen the kingdom. Draw me and lead me into battles and victories that will weaken my flesh to the point that the enemy has no foothold in my life. Weaken me to the point where the enemy has no foothold in my life. That prayer sounds a little different than the other one, doesn't it? But that's exactly what it means. It's when God is leading us out of temptation, He's leading us into a battle that will destroy the tempter and the temptation. Does that make sense to you? How do you lose weight? Don't tell me about pills because they don't work. How do you lose weight? You push away from the temptation. I don't know if I can sell a lot of books like that. I probably, if I could encapsulate it and put it in a pill, some fool would buy it. But it's the only way to lose weight. How do you get a paycheck? You push away the temptation to stay in bed. Right? How many of you are tempted to go to work? Isn't that amazing how that works? That literally when we push away from temptation, we push ourselves into victory or a paycheck. Does that make sense? If I want to lose weight, I push myself away from temptation into victory. Would that apply to sickness? Would it apply to anything that comes along that tries to steal our faith and steal our victory? Draw me and lead me into battles and victories that will weaken my flesh to the point that the enemy has no foothold in my life. After all, the goal of my life is to make you proud. What's the goal of your life? The goal of my life is to make you proud. The goal of my life is to help others, to bring you honor and glory. Listen, Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. If you want to check this out with me, Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Our flesh is our problem. Our flesh is our enemy. Quit feeding it. Quit stroking it. Quit putting it to sleep early and getting it up late. Quit treating it like if you don't treat it perfect, it won't make it. The Bible tells you just the opposite. Don't be deceived. Quit treating your flesh like it's something special. Treat God like it's something special. Oh, I couldn't go to work today. It's too hot. Well, tut, tut, and piss, piss. Get on out there and lose that 15 pounds that you're carrying around. Then go 3, 4, 5 more days and maybe you get rid of the rest of it. Maybe you might meet somebody out there that needs some help. Matthew 26, verse 40. Jesus speaking. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Why are you asleep? Well, it's night. He didn't say, who do you think you are, Jesus? It's 2 in the morning. That's why many of us don't get phone calls from Jesus in the middle of the night, because that would be our response. We haven't learned to make our flesh shut up. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? See, you guys thought that said pray. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now for you people that are a little deceived, and you think once saved, always saved applies to you, this scripture blows you out of the water. For all of you that have a testimony once or twice or three times in your life that says, I'm spirit-filled and God leads me in every step of the way. This is Jesus saying, the spirit is willing. That means your mouth and even your heart flies off and says, I want to do what God wants me to do. But Jesus is saying it's not enough. He's saying the flesh is weak and that's my problem with you. Now listen to me. Jesus is standing there in the same flesh as Peter. Jesus' flesh is no different than Peter's flesh. Jesus needed food and sleep just as bad as Peter did. But Jesus knew that if he didn't watch and pray, that he would enter into temptation. By the way, did Jesus enter into temptation? Let me say this. Was he tempted? So he's not saying if you watch and pray, you won't be tempted. He's saying if you watch and pray, the temptation will not overcome you. So there's no oops. The problem with Jesus' ministry is it took away the oops. There's no accidental sin. There's no accidents. He just looked at Peter and said, you did this because you weren't willing to watch and pray. Did what? Did Jesus tell him not to sleep? Yes, he did. He said, you stay up with me. I'm going to go over here. Give me an hour. He comes back and they're all asleep. What did they do? They yielded to the temptation of the flesh. Well, stand now. You know, I got this little granddaughter and she yields to temptation. She's a baby. You know what? To me, when I see adults yielding to... I don't see a baby. Well, I do see a baby. I see an old baby. Well, I can't help it. Oh, yeah? Let me put you in the military for a little bit. Maybe they can teach you ways to stay awake. They taught me a way. No suggestions. I found a way. I went into a class one time, and the people that went to sleep got to pull up in front of the class, pull their drawers down, and we got to practice shooting needles into their rumps because they went to sleep. It's a medical class. We learned how to give shots to the people that went to sleep. They didn't go to sleep anymore. You know what I did? I've shared this with you before. Maybe it's a suggestion to you. You think of a better way. I took my keys, man. I found out you can't sleep with your fingers together. And I promise you this, before your eyes can get closed, the keys will hit the table. And if you want to stay awake, you will get awake. Try it sometime. Or come up with your own method. When Jesus says, stay awake, stay awake. Now I find it interesting here that he didn't say, pray with me for an hour. He said, watch. What in the world are you going to watch for in the middle of the night? Oh, there is an enemy? Oh, and he comes after Christians? Oh, there must be a reason he comes after Christians. Why? Because most of them fall. Because they don't listen to what Jesus says. They like that. You know, one of the things I still find interesting every time I see this song. Let me step on a toe or two. I wish there was a bunch more here, mostly preachers. We could minister through music. I think this is it. You sang it, you should know it. It says, pass me by the crowds of people and the priests that sing their praise. Get me past the nonsense, politically correct preachers that don't do anything but build them up by complimenting them. You can fill a church 10 times over if all you can do is say, you sweet little things. Jesus loves you no matter what you do. Send the money to P.O. Box. Get me past that nonsense. I don't want to go to a sweet church. I want to see a Jesus that everybody calls sweet but don't know Him yet. He's sweet all right. He's sweet all right. What? You were asleep? That's sweet Jesus. Watch with me. Watch and pray, or you will enter into temptation. Christians, watch and pray, or you will enter into temptation. So if we watch and pray, we're strong enough that temptation bounces off. Amen? Anybody can anybody in this room believe that? A long time ago in a Bible study, I had a lady in the Bible study that for some perverted reason, her parents had raised her in a church and taught her that she bore the weight of men's lust. And so she had to dress correctly. She had to dress basically with a spirit of sackcloth and ashes. Because if she ever wore any kind of dress or anything that even one little bit showed her figure, that she was responsible for that man's sin when he lusted after her. She was in bondage. I talked to her about it. I talked to her about it. She had been living with a prophet that was full of porn. And he was heaping condemnation on her. He wasn't setting her free with truth. He was setting her in bondage to build her the way he wanted. Fortunately for her, he died. Got out of her life where she could hear something. Actually, he killed himself, but that's okay. He did that a long time ago before he ever stopped his heart from beating. She walked into the room. I'd had enough. She walked into the room. I was talking to her. I don't know who it was. But she walked in there and you could see, by the Spirit, you could see this Spirit working on her. Now, what was it? She had something and she turned and she said, I've got to change. And I said, stop. She stopped. I said, can I tell you something? You can walk in here naked as a jaybird. And I said, I will tell you, go get your clothes on. That's what a responsible Christian would do. He'll not take advantage of a situation no matter what his gender is. He'll be responsible for the situation. He won't put all the responsibility on somebody else. That's what a Christian does. It's too easy to blame. It keeps the responsibility off of us. Two things. Jesus said, spirit willing, flesh is weak. Spirit willing, flesh is weak. He wasn't saying that as an excuse. He said the remedy is watch and pray. Watch. What do we watch, guys? What do we watch? How many of you have ever seen The Thief in the Night? See, my scripture has to have legs on it. It can't be somebody else's quoting of a scripture. I have to have a picture of what a thief in the night is. Well, it's not a thief in the night. It's not that. It usually is a friend in the day that's acting as a wolf in sheep's clothing or a thief in the night. It's usually a lucrative project filled with traps. It's usually somebody coming in the name of the Lord full of advice. It's somebody writing his sweet letters and notes as if they were qualified to do that. They haven't even been qualified to take care of their own lives, much less put one bit of input in somebody else's. Watch. Watch what? Watch your mouth. Watch somebody else's mouth. Watch your thought processes. Watch somebody else's thought processes. You be in control of the direction of a conversation. Don't let anybody else have control. They'll lead you where you don't want to go. Don't get caught up in a fight unless you've already won the fight. If you're going to be a goose, be a quiet one. If you're going to just follow, Be a quiet follower. If you're going to lead, have a standard you can lead with. This is my life open to inspection. You can stay with me, you can live with me, you can talk with me, you can see me mad, you can see me glad. But you can see me anytime. And if you can't say that, be quiet. Watch what you're doing. Well, Peter wasn't. Peter was flesh with a willing spirit that was told at one point, "Get behind me, Satan," that walked on water. What a contradiction. What's the point, Stan? I don't care what miracle you last performed. It wasn't enough to carry you very far because your flesh is weak. Well, Stan, are you just meaning we can't win? No, Jesus gave the winning formula. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. What was Jesus watching for? He'd been out there. He'd been watching and praying. What was he watching and praying for? What's the context of this scripture? Where are we? Just before the crucifixion. Did he know it was coming? Then what in the world did he have to worry about? It was all over.
For him not to turn away from them.
His flesh is weak. And so his flesh wanted to get out of town. And what he was doing was taking his flesh out behind the barn and telling his flesh off. Whipping it. And all he wanted. Did he know that the disciples were going to have problems with this crucifixion? More than he... The disciples had bigger problems than Jesus did with the crucifixion. He knew that, and they weren't watching for it. They weren't praying about it. They were sleeping. It's his carcass that goes on the cross anyway. Isn't that kind of our attitude sometimes? We don't bear each other's burdens. It was just Jesus. He can die. I mean, after all, he's God. No, he didn't say, "I'm God, you have the problem." He said, "Our flesh is weak. That's why we need to be doing this. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Or let me put my paraphrase in there. "So you will be strong and temptation will have no effect." Temptation is going to be on every corner, at every stoplight, at every job, at every workplace, at every passing moment. Temptation is going to be there. Please don't think that you're saved from temptation. Jesus knew what he was talking about. You've been tempted to rebel against authority. You've been tempted to turn against God because I've had enough of this. You've been tempted to go do something that God was out of what God told you to do because there wasn't enough provision. We're tempted on every turn. I'm tempted when the pain comes to say, "I'll just call and have the surgery." Oh yeah, that usually gets rid of pain, guys. Don't be fooled. I go on a business trip. There's a good willing woman. Woo, she's good looking. My wife won't know. Are you here to please your wife? Or are you here to please God? I'm asking you, are you here to please somebody else? Or are you here to please God? That's why I don't care what anybody thinks. We talked about the Ten Commandments. I said, "I'm not faithful to her." You misunderstand if you think I'm faithful to her. I'm faithful to God, which causes me to be faithful to her.
That's right.
Get it in order. I don't lie because it's the truth is the thing to do. I know it would displease God. Therefore, "thou shalt not lie" really doesn't apply to me, does it? I don't intend to anyway. Don't have any other gods before me. That means I will not make you a god to please you. I'll smile at you a little bit. I'll put up with you as long as God will help me to do that. And then he may say, "Sick him to my flesh." You know, it is the carrier of the Spirit, right? Don't look at me that way. God sometimes says, "Sick him to the flesh." He did to David, a good example. "Kill him. I don't like him either. He's been cursing me. He's been mocking me. I've had enough. Are you willing?" David says, "Yeah." At that time, don't tell me David's flesh wasn't wanting to turn tail and run. But guess where David just came from? He'd been out alone with nothing but a bunch of dumb animals, which don't talk to animals. That'll pull you away. That'll pull your attention away from God. Don't talk to animals. They will not talk back. I promise you. And they don't understand a thing you say anyway. They just want to know where their next meal is coming from. Don't be an animal either. They don't love you. They love what you do for them. Found that a long time ago when I was a kid. You find a hurt animal, a dog for instance, and you reach down and help, you may draw back a nub. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do that. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Why did Jesus tell us that? Why did he teach us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? Because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he'd cut us off the first time we entered into temptation. Or we got ourselves in an evil place. But that's not what he does. He teaches us how to pray out of what we get ourselves into. He teaches us to pray ourselves out of what we get ourselves into. All right. Enough time on that one? Let's go for the review. The Lord's Prayer. We'll start at verse 7. And then we'll move on to whatever next thing that God leads us into. Number one, the Lord's Prayer taught us, number one, that we needed change. Anybody in here that thinks that they don't need change, the first thing you need is to get saved. If all you think is everybody else needs to be changed, you need to be saved. Matthew 6:7. And when you pray, and that applies to people that pray, right? He didn't say, for all of those that have never prayed, here is your, now I lay me down to pray. You memorize this little thing. He said, this is for people that pray. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Please, may I suggest to you something that will just make you gasp. In Jesus' name and Father God are two of the most vain repetitions that I've ever heard in the church. Most of the time, you don't even know when you say it or how many times you say it. I would suggest to you that you listen to your prayers once in a while and see how heathen they are. What do you want me to do, Stan? I want you to get real. Don't you let one word of your prayer be repetitious. It needs to be fresh and anew every time you say it. You need to be looking at the face of God, thinking that He's about to grade you on your prayer. How about that? And if you get boring, he's going to turn his back on you. Why? Because they think they will be heard for their many words, their pretty words. So take it as a directive of change. Nothing has affected my life. Nothing has affected my life like hallowed be his name and by your word. Nothing has changed me like those two phrases that God has put in my spirit. Hallowed be. I told somebody the other day, nobody understands the revelation I have right now, and hallowed be his name. It's not a prayer. It's a picture. It's an all-encompassing picture. When you say, hallowed be your name, Father, he just covered the entire world with his presence, and every one of your problems just have to go away because he's an awesome God. And by your word means, I'm not saying it, God. I'm repeating it. You know what? I've met some big, britched people in this place. Say dumb things and have to eat them. I don't know why you do that. But let me tell you something. By your word, if you will learn that, I've preached it. Why don't you listen? By your word, Lord, means it's not my words. I'm quoting yours. And it's not by my wish. It's by your will, Lord. You willed it when you said it. And it's not my prayer. It's yours, Lord. I have nothing to pray but your word, Lord. I don't want anything. I don't need anything but you, Lord. By your word, that will supply all my needs according to your riches. By your word. Greatest command you can ever give is by your word, Lord. We need a change in our prayer attitude. Number two, do not spend much time on your personal needs. He already knows them. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. So why ask? Trust. Number three, Jesus wants us to pray in a certain manner. that being his manner. Are you looking at your Bible? I'm not making this up. Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, pray. He didn't say you make up your own way. It said, in this manner, pray. Number 4. It's not about me. It's about him and the kingdom. Verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know what the enemy really wants you to think? That your name is something. The enemy would like for you to believe, you believe this or not, but the enemy would like for you to believe that you have a special place in front of God. He wants you to believe that. He's caused many to stumble. He's had preachers that commit adultery because they have a special place and special dispensation in front of God. He makes every newborn that won't mature believe that they have eternal life with God no matter what they do or say, no matter how they act. He wants you to believe that. He'll tempt your flesh to believe that. Jesus will teach you different. In this manner pray, hallowed be your name. Not, this is Stan coming, and you know what I've been doing for you lately. Come on. You've all been tempted that way. Everyone has been tempted with that thought process. I've played for you. I've preached for you. I've taught for you. I've mowed yards for you. I've blah, 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 blah. Oh, everybody get out their small violins. Let's play this sad song. Let's get real. Hallowed be what you've done. Hallowed be who you are. In my life, I'm not hallowed. You are, Lord. You know what Jesus learned while he was walking in his flesh? That the supreme exaltation from the Father came when his flesh died. Right? Anybody in here had their flesh totally dead yet? Well, then you ain't been supremely exalted by the Father yet. Try a little harder. Let's try a little harder. 5, don't pray for your needs. If we pray for our needs, we pray for our kingdom. Let me tell you, this is every one of these you know is at least 1 or 2 weeks' message that I'm just pumping today. If we pray for our needs, we pray for our kingdom. He says, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I wish that could hit people. I don't have any needs except your will. I don't have any wants except your will. Our hero taught us that when he died on the cross. When he took a beating for us and didn't fuss. Didn't say, you know who I'm doing this for? Those bunch of lousy. He didn't do that, did he? When's the last time they prayed for me? Number 6. We are what God has on earth to establish his kingdom. His kingdom in our flesh will supply all our needs. His kingdom in our flesh will supply all our needs. His kingdom in our flesh will supply all of our needs. What's happened to our finances since I started preaching this? They've skyrocketed. That's exactly right. Because his kingdom come, his will be done, means that our needs will be provided far beyond anything we've ever thought or asked. So when you ask for your needs to be fulfilled, you are limiting him in what he can do in your needs. He already knows about them. It's like he's saying, get out of the way. Let's talk about those because that's exalting those. Exalt me and see what happens. Verse 10, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Number 7, all we need to ask for, sorry for you guests or some of you that have missed and come back, I know this is a truckload, but get the tapes, okay? They're real. The scripture will back it up. I'm not making something up. I'm telling you how to exalt God in your life, how to have abundance and health, and give him the glory and have others ask you, what in the world are you going on? What are you doing? And you can tell them, let me finally teach you how to pray. Number 7. All we need to ask for is the food that it takes to do his will and the food that it takes for us to do his will. That's what I needed to say. Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. How many of you know that food, bread and water is punishment, it's not victory? Bread and water is punishment, not victory. So God is not telling you to pray for punishment. He's telling you to pray for the food or the energy or the provisions that it takes for you to do His will properly. That's what you're asking for. That's all you need to ask for. Number eight, we will never walk in God's freedom and blessings until we free or loose all of our cares and concerns to Him. Now I'm going to go into just a hair bit more detail than last time I did this. Matthew 6:12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, sorry if you haven't heard this before. I'm going to hit you a little hard. Get the tape. Get several. I got a bunch of tapes on this one. We are not forgivers. We are loosers. They mistranslated the King James Version. If you don't believe that, you get your own dictionary and find out. You are not asked to forgive anybody anything. You are asked to loose them to the forgiver. Now listen to this. I've got some scriptures to back this up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. It's a familiar one. "And if your right hand causes you to sin..." This is not somebody else's right hand. This is yours. How can you forgive your right hand? You cannot forgive your right hand unless you're deceived. Here's what the scripture says. "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you," which is the same word as loose. That means get away from it. I don't want it. Give it to God. I'm out of here. If I have to leave my hand, I leave my hand. My wife, my children, my job, whatever it takes. It's not bigger than God. "For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell." Now we know what happens at the end. Do you understand, Harry? For the one that is not covered by the blood, there's no forgiveness. We miss that sometimes. There is no forgiveness. There's only forgiveness to one entity, and that's the one that's covered or washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those that don't take that are cast away as we cast away. We loose sin. We cast it away. And for those that won't take the provision of forgiveness from Jesus and Jesus alone, they will be cast or loosed into their reward. Jerry, it's important for us to loose and not forgive. If we get to forgiving, we get in the way of the forgiver. If we loose it to Him, He can cast it to hell. He can cast it into a message, an evangelism, whatever it takes to get them saved. It's God's deal. His kingdom come. His will be done. Let's loose it. Let's get out of the way. Let me read you another one. Matthew 7, verse 4 through 6. Listen to this. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove, cast away, or loose the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" Jerry, she's the one that asked me a couple of these questions. Anybody else in here? You will never loose anybody from anything until you loose yourself. You must release yourself from somebody else's provision of sin upon you. The world is full of people that want to send you to hell. The world is full of people that say, "Patrick, if you just would do it different, maybe you'd be a better person." That's probably true. Now I loose myself from that nonsense and say there's only one way for me to get better, and that's for God. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Amen? Amen? Harry, I got 43 points I'd like to read to you in this letter. Maybe we can get you straight. You know what? When I go to sleep tonight, Harry, not one thing you've ever said and not one thing you've ever done will keep me awake. Why? Because not one thing I've ever said or one thing I've ever done will keep me awake. It's not that I'm going to keep repeating them. See, if we forgive it, we try to not remember it as Jesus does. That's not possible. You know, we were given memory banks so we could store away our mistakes. We need to refer to those things. I did it that way. I won't do it that way again. God, lead me away from the temptation to be a fool and do that again. Right? Robbie, how in the world would you ever fix anything if you didn't first try it and make a mistake and get better? You have to remember the mistake, right? So it makes you better. Put these buildings up, man. I screwed up several different things. I do better now because I remember those. But they don't keep me awake. My conscience is free. I loosed them. K. cast all your cares. How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye. If something you did is killing you, you got to get that out of your eye, or you will never minister to anybody else. Or you'll minister what you are. Unforgiven. Do not give, listen to this one. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. This is the same verse of Scripture. You know, this is a holy gift from God. We call it forgiveness, but that's not what it is. It's our ability to loose or cast our cares upon Him. It's a holy thing that God has given to us. It's the most effective thing that could ever happen in your life, for you to turn to God with your worries, Jerry, with your worries, with your concerns about what somebody did for you, to you, or what you did to somebody else. God's provision, part of salvation, part of continuing salvation, is to look at God and say, God, I give it to you. I have no right to, but you, by your word, I do this. And we're set free. Now, verse 6, don't give what is holy to the dogs. Don't loose people, or don't forgive them, because that's holy. You loose them to the Holy One. Not my responsibility. Nor cast your pearls before swine. I forgive you. Oh, please. You didn't have the right. Get up off your knee and say, be gone. Nothing I hold against anybody. It's gone. I've given it to God. If you do, they'll trample them under their feet, turn and tear you in pieces. You know why this is important? I got a real hard lesson on this not too long ago. I have worked very difficultly, hardly, and continuously to release and to release some people that have done me terribly wrong. And one of those people walked in my office the other day, and I'm happy. I hadn't lost a minute's sleep. I knew they were coming. And they called me every name in the book. And the last name they called me was an ignorant sloth, which I've been called that since. And it's not true. I'm a called one of God. I'm anointed. And I'm told what to say, and I say it. And anybody that comes against me has touched God's anointed. And they pay prices. And if they can't see that, then I don't think they'll ever see anything. Now, I had the right to jump up and slaughter that person. Sick them flesh. Sick them flesh. Go get them. Because I have the right. In my house attacking me. Woo-hoo, dumb thing to do. Dumb thing to do. You may call yourself intelligent, but you ain't intelligent. It's a dumb thing to do. God gave me because I was watching. Because I knew something was coming. I watched and I prayed about it. And I grinned. Oh, really? I'm the ignorant sloth. Okay. God, I loose it. I don't forget it, but I won't hold it because it'll kill me first. I loose it. Why did you tell me that story, Stan? Because I want you to understand. The attacks don't stop just because you loose. You will still be tempted. Anybody know what sloth is? What is it? Very slow, very little movement, lazy. Anybody know me as that? You know the enemy because they'll call you things the farthest from the truth. Okay. Can I be lazy? I'm tempted every morning, every night, and every minute in between. My flesh wants that. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Jerry, you asked me specifically, and I told you a couple of practices. Let me tell you one. Every day you will be tempted to hold something against somebody by the enemy bringing it back to your memory. Your command by your Savior, your Lord, is cast it off. Lord, I gave it to you and I'm not taking it back. It's yours. I know you didn't try to give it back to me. So by your word, I know it's the enemy. And now I'm walking in light and not in darkness. I'm free. Free indeed. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That means tell your flesh to shut up and be quiet so He can exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him. All of your care upon Him. All of your care upon Him. He didn't say forgive all your care or somebody else's. He said cast it all upon Him. So by your word, Lord, I do that. I got a promise. It's more than a promise. It's a command. And if I follow it, it becomes a covenant. What happens if I cast all my cares on Him, Harry? Really cast them on there. I won't have any. Can you imagine that? If I can do this one verse. Have you ever seen anybody that has no cares? What an exciting thought to have. No cares. I've got to try a little harder on that one. He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Seeking who will allow him to devour them. It's my decision. It's not my decision that there be lions out there, but it is my decision who gets eaten, who don't. And it ain't me. By your word, Lord, it's not me. Number 9. I like number 8. I'd like to stay there a while longer, but I won't. Woo! No cares. I'm not going to forget that one. What our flesh wants is what the enemy uses to destroy us. Hey, what your flesh wants is what the devil will use to destroy you. So if you don't take control of it, you'll be destroyed. Matthew 6:13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let me give you some final thoughts about that verse. A, God does not tempt, He leads. Say it again. God does not tempt, He leads. B, the enemy's after us. God is good. The devil is bad. My spirit is good. My flesh is bad. So I got to decide who's the strongest. Is my flesh the strongest? Or is my spirit man the strongest? Well, let's get into a fight and let's find out. Best thing. Best premarital counseling you can get. Get in a fight! If you can't pick one, I'll pick one for you. We'll see what happens. I'd sell a lot of books on that one, wouldn't I? See, the flesh is what he uses. Please, Christians, your flesh isn't gone yet. So don't be so naive that you think there's nothing he can touch you with. The flesh is what the enemy uses. All right. D, God's job is to lead us into paths that destroy flesh. Now, that's not real pleasing preaching. But God's job is to take you and teach you how to destroy your flesh.
Amen.
Ooh, that's fun teaching, isn't it? Oh. But in the process, it's to strengthen our spirit man. He does not take away anything and not give more. That's not my God. If something is required of my flesh, I'm going to be greatly rewarded in my spirit. Nothing God ever takes away that He doesn't add to much, much more. He's the one that coined the phrase, count the cost. So He's counted the cost long before you ever met the challenge. Receive the prophet. E, our flesh is our only enemy. My flesh is my only enemy. Your flesh is not my enemy. The devil's not my enemy because Jesus told me he's defeated. I believe Jesus over my flesh. I believe Jesus over foolish preaching. My flesh is my enemy. Why are you saying that, Stan? You're making life rough. No, I'm just telling you. You only got one enemy. Talk to your flesh and win. Make it mind and win. The other day, Mackenzie, she's beginning to act like a little kid that doesn't have had enough. And I think that my wife wanted to minister to my daughter a little bit. She said to me, see, my wife knows how to preach. Anyway, she said, do you think Mackenzie me needs a whipping? Oh, yeah, I think so. I can tell you about some of your kids, too. So, you know what I told my wife when she wasn't listening? Because we passed by this little kickball, t-ball, whatever the bunch of little kids were playing. My wife looked over and she said, look at all those little people over there. Now, a few months ago, she'd said those little kids. I said, isn't it amazing when you have little kids in your house that you begin to see people in them? And you understand if they're not corrected, they're going to be big people with those lousy, lousy methods. So you take care of it now, not later. Because jail never takes care of it. You take care of it now. Number 10, the last one. It is all about God and His kingdom. That is the purpose of prayer. It is all about God and His kingdom. That is the purpose of prayer. If you want to pray like the heathen, pray about yourself. Pray about your friends. Pray about your kids. Pray about your money. Pray about everything that's taken that is God in your life, but don't pray to God. But if you want to do it Jesus' way, pray how you can fit into the kingdom of God. How you can make your flesh fit into the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody says, amen. Let me give you an A and B here. A, if it helps God, it helps us. B, this one's not, you probably won't be so loud on. If our prayer is about us, it does not help God. Well, God, you know I could do a lot better work if I was healed. Is that a fact? Why don't you turn that loose? Why don't you cast it off? Why don't you say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done? Well, the reason I don't pray that is because I might die. I thought you wanted His will. It's appointed unto man once to die. You're not going to trust Him with it? Oh, I'm really being weird now, right? You know what? I will agree with you that God gets more glory out of your living than He does your dying. I will agree with that. I'm not against that belief at all. But I'm telling you, the final word in every one of your prayers must be, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Our goal in prayer should be stop our flesh, stop the enemy, loose God's will. It's for God's kingdom. We have provision that will cause us to do that work, and we know that work. Amen. Is that why you pray? Is that why you pray? Do you pray to God because you want something? Or do you pray to God because you want Him? You know the hardest part for Christians? Why this prayer is hard? Because they don't trust anybody. Very difficult for us to pray correctly because it totally requires us to trust somebody else. And Christians have a hard time totally trusting anybody else. You know how you can tell? You know how to trust somebody else totally? Don't trust them at all. Trust God. Christians, don't trust on anybody. Trust God. I think that sailed past you there. I know Robbie got it. I saw his eyes. You don't have to trust anybody if you trust God. If you don't trust God, you have to lean to your own understanding. Where's that gotten you? Well, you don't know, man, I trusted Him the other day, and you know what He did to me? Oh, I know what the enemy did to you. I doubt if he had very little to do with it. It's probably all on you. We don't like that kind of talk, though. Now let's end it. Matthew 6, 7 through 13. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. When you pray, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. This isn't just to me, this is to you. Don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. That's right. And that was the end of the prayer. Amen. And you know what's the scripture right after that? Anybody still have their Bible open? If you don't think that that's right. It goes right back to forgiveness, which means loosing. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. How does that end? If you hold anything against anybody, you better get rid of it or God won't hear your prayers. Isn't that amazing? But Stan, you don't understand. No. I'll do it like the cartoon. Say, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. See how we can do that to each other? You know what that opens the door for? Let me tell you, I'll show you yours if you show me mine or whatever, you know. That's the first thing that's going to lead to. Don't even go there. Do it my way. No, and I don't want to hear about it either. See, I shut you up and me up too. No, I don't want to hear your problems. I know what your problem is. You know, if Jesus were standing right here, you know what he'd tell every one of us our problem is? What did he say 100 times in the New Testament? Fear not. O ye of little faith. Fear not. O ye of little faith. That means you ain't trusting God. That's why you're afraid. And I'm putting my finger on it and you don't like it. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Oh, you know what? God's Word is so good. And you know what the best part of all? It's so real. You know, these, what do you call these, the programs they have on television now, they call them real life or they call them, what do they call them? Reality TV. TV wouldn't know reality if it was an 18-wheeler ran over them. They wouldn't even know it hit them. We're dealing with something that's real. You know why I know? Because I have had God work miraculous things in my life in the area of casting off. I wanted to use the word forgiveness, but it's the wrong conclusion. I found out I can't forgive. I got to loose. And when I lose, I get loose. That's the key to this whole prayer. I began to trust God when I turned things loose. But you don't know how much money I owe. No, and I won't after you tell me I got this little feeling. Why? Because you trump up things a little bit. Why don't you just turn it loose? You know how you turn it loose? By your word, Lord. I don't owe it. You do. Because I just gave it to you. I promise you, Lord, that the next time it goes in, I'm tempted to go into debt, I won't do it. See, it's not just casting. It's coveting. Coveting. Ding, 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 ding. It's making a covenant. Sticking by it. You know what Jesus said in that prayer? Now, y'all always should wait with bated breath when I say that because it'll end up like the Ten Commandments. We'll both hear it fresh. He's basically saying to us, if you'll trust me, if you'll praise me, if you'll exalt me, if you'll make my name above all names, you won't have a worry in the world. Not a worry in the world. You won't have a need. You just won't have it if you'll give it to me. Can I remind you of something that Jesus said, or that was said of Jesus in the Bible? That he took all of our... See, we always say sins. But it was the infirmities also, which are not sicknesses. He took our diseases. Remember diseases? That's an anti-ease. That's anything that keeps us from being easy. He, from before the foundations of the earth, saw you. That means all your sicknesses, all your diseases, all your problems. And he said, I want you anyway. Now, here's the only way that you and I can be wed forever. And that is that I take all of that, not right. See, we're taught salvation means right till the point that I knelt and wept. Well, baloney. I've knelt and wept a few times since then. He doesn't want us on our knees with our eyes full of tears. Unless it's in praise and honor to him. He took it all. He took it into consideration. He counted the cost and he paid the bill. Now if I said, Dale, take me out to lunch today. Dale's going to do, I know what Dale's going to do. Dale's going to go back there and look in his car and look under the seat, look in his billfold, his wife's, you know, see if he's got enough money to do this. That's called counting the cost. Now, old Bob back there, he's richer than all get out. So I say, Bob, take me to lunch today. Oh, yeah. Me and my wife and Desiree. Oh, yeah. I want to go to the fort. I'm going to go to Briarwood. He's going to go. You know what I'm talking about? God considered everything we were going to do, every place we were going to go, all the cost, and he said, I'll take you anyway. Amen? That's what this Lord's Prayer is about. Turn it over to me. Trust me. Honor me. Get off your knees and quit whining to me. Don't tell me what you need. I already know it. Tell me or ask me to give you what I want to give you. And we've already got the promise that it's far beyond anything that we could ever think, perceive, even think to ask. Hallelujah. God is good. He just needs some people that are even worthy to serve Him. Listen, when He created Adam, He took from Adam a part of man and made a woman. He named that woman help meet, not help mate. And the reason we want to pervert that is so that when we walk into the marriage with Jesus Christ, we can say, I'm your mate, and that isn't what it says. I'm His meat, which means I have been found worthy to serve Him. That's what help meet means. It doesn't mean I have an equal vote. It never meant that. It never will mean that. It means I have been found worthy or created worthy to serve Him. Let's begin to pray like a meat instead of a mate. By your word, I'm worthy to serve you. Therefore, I come boldly into your presence. And I say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do it through me. And watch Him work. Watch Him work. Anybody want to see God work in them? We got to learn to pray. We got to learn how to talk to Him. We talk to Him like He's our husband and we're worthy to serve Him. Then watch Him honor us. Watch Him honor us. He'll never take advantage of us. He'll honor us. Amen? Now that's long. That's what you call long. Y'all stand. I stand accused and found guilty. And I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I'm excited about today's message. I got some stuff out of it. How about y'all? I don't even want to quit. I'm going to just keep walking. I found out in that one message today that I cannot have a care in the world. I never read that in there before. I just figured it out. I don't have to have any cares. You may start hearing from me, I don't care. Stan, I got a problem. I don't care. If I act a little weird, don't take me serious. Just let me revel in the newfound freedom for just a minute, okay? I tell you what, I want to get down, though. I want to be able to say to the enemy, I have no cares. You keep saying I do, and I don't. I don't. I don't. If I don't have any cares, then I don't have any worries. I know. I'm hot. I feel good hot. That's why I was born and raised in South Texas. Learn how to put up with the heat. Amen? Hallelujah. Jerry, you have no cares. If you learn to cast them, watch the healing come. Come on. Don't be expecting to be sick tomorrow. Be expecting not to be healed, but to be careless. Because you're going to learn over and over by your words and by God's words that you're not going to carry any cares. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If I'm full of care and worry, then I can't have the medicine it takes to heal me, which is cast all my cares upon Him. Hallelujah. Listen, take this message serious and change your life. And if you can't, stay out of my way as my life changes. Amen. Nothing better than an offer of ice cream at the end of a hefty meal. Woo! See, I told you, God's given me a little wit, but it's okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In all things, give Him praise, give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Father, I have laid it out and you have laid it on me and I thank you. I haven't ever heard a better message in all my life. And I give you praise. Thank you for giving it. Thank you for giving the message. Now here's my portion. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Be it so unto me, according to your word. I say yes. I say yes. Teach me your ways, Lord. Teach me a better way. That is your way. Teach me to be stricter with your words. Let it bring forth the harvest in my life and in other lives as you've given it. And Lord God, I'll be faithful to give you praise, to give you honor, to give you glory all the days of my life. And I will instill in that that very theme in those that will stay around. Then we're born to give you praise and honor and glory. Born to serve you for this mighty, mighty work, for this mighty, mighty word, and for the mighty, mighty harvest that's going to come for your people. I give you thanks. And I give you praise. And I tell you, Lord, I feel honored to stand here right now. Nothing could be more honor to me than to give people words of true life. Now that honor is coming, I give it back to you. I give it to you. You are our God. We are your people. Use us to serve you this day. And for that, we'll give you praise and glory forever. In Jesus' name we do this. And everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Be dismissed.